Talk Radio 1600 WAAM. It is 8:13 in the morning. Michigan has a new state budget, but what exactly does it mean to you and me? And also, what about this debate that continues over that new tax on services? On our line this morning from the Mackinac Center, we welcome Jack Mihue to Talk Radio 1600 WAAM. Hey, Jack.
Good morning, Lucienne.
Well, they managed to do it before the deadline on the 31st.
Well, yeah, it was ugly, but and frankly, a lot of that angst and concern that people have expressed about, you know, the timing of it, I thought was kind of misplaced. It doesn't really matter. There's no extra points for doing this early. You get points for doing it well.
What do you make out of how everything came together in the end?
Well, I think that what the budget really demonstrates is that the first priority of Lansing is to preserve the status quo of how much the government spends and how it spends it. The definition of crisis turns out to be we might have to change. But the crisis was averted. There will be no change in the way state government operates. And a crisis, we now know, doesn't mean that they're going to have to get by with less money. This year's budget is actually $1 billion more than last year's budget.
And that's despite cuts that were made, but not enough as far as you're concerned.
Well, you know, what are those cuts? The word deficit turns out to mean the gap, not some, you know, real gap between spending and revenue, but the gap between desired spending and revenue. So, for example, if I decide that I want to spend, you know, $70,000 next year, but I only make $60,000, I've got a $10,000 deficit in my household. And I'm going to have to, you know, impose some real draconian cuts. You know, that vacation to Europe is going to have to, you know, get sliced and some hard choices.
Didn't they, in the state police ranks, there had been talk possibly about laying off troopers and that sort of thing. And I know that the Mackinac Center believes that that should kind of be absorbed by local communities anyway, from people we've talked with up there before. But didn't they, aren't they going to shut down a couple of the crime labs now?
Yeah, they're going to shut down a couple of crime labs. They should probably shut down lots of things in state government that it does. I mean, it's like any other bureaucratic organization. You know, they tend to grow, and you get points for you get credit for becoming less productive if you're a manager in state government or any government. Meaning that if you get, you know, if you hire more people, if you have more people underneath you doing the same amount of work, your power and influence is greater. So the incentives in government are always to add more bodies, add more offices, more buildings, etc. That doesn't mean that the people are getting better services.
You point out that gross prison spending is up despite fewer prisoners expected in the state this year. And I didn't know this. Prison guards are paid almost a third more than the national average here in the state of Michigan.
Well, those figures are courtesy of the American Federation of Teachers, which puts out a annual survey of what different categories of government workers make in different states. And, you know, there's lots of discussion about, well, you know, prison guards, they get about $45,000 in Michigan. You know, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of money. But this points out the reason that it's very difficult to restrain and contain spending in a bureaucratic institution. You have one in your backyard there. Actually, it's right in your front. It's right in the darn living room, the University of Michigan, that is a great example of this, you know, where every year spending, tuition, appropriations, and not appropriations in the last few years, but over the decades have gone up by double-digit amounts. And, you know, yet they're not really educating significantly more students. So the only way to really solve that kind of problem of the prisons is to privatize them. I mean, all over the country, wherever this is done, not wherever, but in almost all places where it's done well, significant savings can be realized. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars could be realized by privatizing prisons.
But at the start, that might be true. What happens as these companies that take over certain aspects that normally, you know, we would handle, is there anything, any recourse for you to control the costs after that? Don't we see that their prices go up years later after you privatize?
Well, I not that I've heard. I mean, the recourse is, if you want the business, you keep your pencil sharp. You don't let out contracts forever. The contracts have a limited period. You mentioned the state police. The state police, the prisons, those are two areas where my organization, the Mackinac Center, has recommended specific what we call transformational changes in how state government operates. There's an article on our site called, here's $1.9 billion in savings that avoid the need for tax increases at Mackinac.org, spelled Mackinac.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that lists the state police. It's not shifting the cost or shuffling it down or imposing the state police road patrols onto sheriffs. It's recognizing the fact that state sheriff or county sheriff deputies cost a lot less to their employer than a state trooper's. Troopers are very expensive. So if you have guys with county Mountie hats on the roads instead of those natty blue uniforms, you can save $65 million in this state. The counties get extra money from the state to fulfill this function. We have just as many police officers on the road. We're just getting it done for less money. The same thing with prisons. We can get the same job done for less money if we do it smarter.
All right. Jack McHugh is senior legislative analyst with the Mackinac Center on Talk Radio 1600 WAAM. Again, their website is Mackinac.org.
Correct.
And that's Mackinac, Mackinac.org. Not happy with how this budget transformation is taking place. Now, the latest we're hearing, too, is that they may end up scrapping this the services tax. And the governor's saying, well, if they're going to do that, we're going to have to come up with the money somewhere else. What do you make out of the latest on this?
Well, the Mackinac, this is the governor's lucky day, and I'm going to share this with her right on your radio show. Last week, the Mackinac Center put out a quick study identifying $1.358 billion in budget savings that are available right now, not transformational changes that save money a year or two down the road, but what I call the green eye shades kind of budget cuts, where you go into individual line items and slice them. Well, in that $1.358 billion identified happens to be the exact amount that these new tax increases will bring in this year. So when the governor says, well, you know, where's the revenue going to come from, we've identified where the savings are possible. As I said at the outset, this budget is $1 billion more than last year's budget. We're spending $1 billion more than last year's. This tax increase, this service tax, is frankly, it's economic malpractice. It's government malpractice. This is the most destructive tax increase that could possibly be imagined. It's impossible to administer. It's impossible to comply with. It imposes what they call pyramiding, where the tax gets passed on from one supplier to the next through the supply chain and gets larger and larger at each step, which frankly is why the government likes it, because they end up getting a little more revenue out of that. But the bottom line is they're not going to get the revenue that they expect out of that, because the sheep won't all stick around to be fleeced. They can't afford to.
Jack McHugh, senior legislative analyst with the Mackinac Center. We have time for one quick phone call. Trudy, you are front and center with Jack McHugh.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your comment?
Well, my comment is this. Years ago, I always received a list of a pork barreling list from when Margaret O'Connor was the state representative.
She was famous for that.
And I noticed on this pork barreling list that I have a friend who is not around here anymore, but she was quite a wealthy woman. And she received on this pork barreling list, she received $20,000 to complete her memoirs of such an island in South Carolina. And I knew that this certain island in South Carolina was where she and her husband were building their retirement home. I was so infuriated. I didn't know what to say or do. But that is not right. I mean, that $20,000 could have been given to some student at Eastern Michigan or Michigan State or wherever to complete his or her studies.
Thanks, Trudy. Good comment. Jack?
Well, you know, Trudy raises an interesting point, which is, you know, people hear me kind of ranting about this budget and may think, oh, that, you know, there's those right-wingers again or whatever, although the Mackinac Center is a free market think tank, not a conservative think tank. But, you know, this really is not a liberal-conservative issue. The real winners in this budget was the privileged class of government workers who in this state are earning 18% more on average than comparable private sector workers. Those who would increase the social service spending, welfare, Medicaid, et cetera, do not benefit from state employees getting a $150 million raise in this budget. The recipients of those social service dollars do not benefit from state employees having an average salary and benefits package of $75,000,
well,
compared to an average of $58,000 in the private sector.
That's right, and we're seeing municipalities now starting to turn the tide on that as well, and employees having to pay into health care. We need to start doing that with our state workers as well. Jack McHugh, always great talking with you folks from the Mackinac Center, and thanks for your perspective this morning. We'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Lucianne.